Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Joining us tonight, Jack Osborne. The phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. If you want to talk to Jack, ask him questions, or just the usual Loveline fare, please join us. Jack, you all know from the Osbournes, and you're about to know him from Jack Osborne Adrenaline Junkie. Is that what the show is going to be called here in the States?
I hope so.
Something like that.
Something like that.
It has been on in England, or it's going to be on in England?
It's been on in England, yeah.
And is this part of that tour all of Europe show that you've been doing?
Yeah, like I went around Europe just doing a bunch of crazy stuff.
Now, refine this a little bit. Now, people think about doing crazy stuff. They think about Steve-O and Jackass and those guys.
This was a little more kind of adventurous, not so like clown school.
Not clown school.
This was like mountaineering, rock climbing.
Extreme activity.
Extreme sports, very kind of, if things go bad, there's no like sprained ankle, oh, you're going to be okay. It's things go bad, you die kind of stuff.
Well, in fact, that's one of the things I guess that's going to be highlighted is this climb of El Capitan. You've got your mom and dad doing interviews about what, you going up atop El Capitan?
Yeah, they were.
Your mom must be freaking out.
Yeah, she.
I'm freaking out for her.
She was crying every night I was up there.
Oh, poor Karen. Oh, my God. Your poor mom. What you guys put her through?
I know.
So, all right. So, you climbed. Tell us about this climb of El Capitan. How'd that go down?
It was.
First of all, how'd you decide that's what I want
to
do?
Well, what it was, I did a show in England about a year prior to actually climbing El Cap. And I met a guy there named Mike Weeks. And he had this whole idea for doing a TV show and said, look, I can train you. And, you know, within a year to climb El Capitan.
Were you already interested or doing rock climbing at that point?
Well, the show that we were doing was rock climbing. I was like, I love this. This is great. Right, and he was like, well, you know, how about I take you under my wing? And we did the show together with his girlfriend, her name's Bean. And,
her name is Bean?
Her name's Bean. You'll get her real name, but actually she just had legally changed, was Candida.
Nice. Nice. And for those of you that don't recognize Candida, another nice name for Candida would be yeast.
Yeah. Her mom thought it was a lovely name at the time. She had no idea what it was.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mom mentally retarded or
no, I didn't
hippie?
No, they were like very, very proper, posh family. She was
Amish?
No, she was like a pro skier. She was in the Olympics.
Oh, my God.
And she just thought, she had no idea what Candida was. She thought it was the French name or something.
Fabulous. Fantastic. So now she's Bean.
And now she's Bean, yeah.
Well, that's a fair cry, but an improvement from
And Canada. It suits her. You meet her, you're like, oh, Bean. It suits her very well.
Nice. And so you and her boyfriend actually climbed to the top.
With her, too.
Oh, she came, too.
Yeah, and a cameraman and two guys rigging ropes for the cameraman.
Now, I don't know if anybody has ever really seen this kind of rock climbing, but it's literally, I mean, you're thousands of feet in the air, clinging to a wall. You sleep hanging from a basket, basically.
Like a.
Do you sleep straight up, like your feet hanging down, your head up, or do you have a sling?
No, you have there's a thing called a porta ledge, and it's kind of an aluminum.
Just thinking about this freaks me out. So how do you not roll out of it?
I mean, you're tethered in into the wall and stuff.
God.
You know, it's pretty safe, but the first night's sleep on it is not so comfortable.
was up there the first night you slept on something like that? Or
yeah. I slept on ledges before on climbs, but it was interesting, to say the least.
And you were telling me that once you got to the very, very top and got over the lip, which was already sort of a negative angle,
yeah,
you couldn't find the ropes to go on.
Oh, that would be, because what happened was we climbed El Cap twice. We did the East Buttress, which is the smallest face on it,
uh-huh.
And then we did a route called Salathe, which is one of the longer ones. But when we climbed the smaller one, we couldn't find the chains to abseil down, and we ended up having to walk, 9 miles in the dark with like a couple two head torches between like three of us, and it was
no food. You said it already been 95 degrees. Your 13-hour climb.
Yeah, we were already like extremely dehydrated before the walk.
Oh my God,
I was like hallucinating and losing it. So.
All right, well, listen, anybody wants to talk to Jack, give us a call. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. As you well know, he's got a lot to talk about. He's made some major, major changes in his life. He looks fantastic. Let's talk now to Dana, 22. Dana?
Hi, Dr.
Hey. Hey, Dana, what's going on?
Well, sorry, I'm really nervous. I have extreme agoraphobia.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take a lot of ecstasy. Well, not a lot, but, like, I do it every once in a while, and then one time I took, like, 4 pills of it, and then for the next, it's been a couple of years. At first, I couldn't even leave my house to go anywhere, and I was wondering if this is, like, a normal thing. And I had panic attacks, like, when I was in high school, but it was nothing huge, and I can't go out to eat. I don't know, like...
Yeah, I would tell you, Dana, with ecstasy, 20 or more hits, I see this syndrome very commonly. And the syndrome is, Jack, you can chime in if you've seen this. Somebody's usually very, very social, goes out a lot, all of a sudden starts withdrawing, doesn't want to go out so much, starts not wanting to leave, getting kind of depressed, starts having panic attacks, then gets agoraphobia, and then gets profoundly depressed. There's usually depression that follows on the heels of this that's pretty intense.
I don't have depression at all.
I'm just saying, usually. Yeah. And it's not necessarily direct, like within a few days. Sometimes it's even a couple of years later. So be careful. Watch out for depression. Watch out for more panic. For the most part, the agoraphobia kind of goes away. It gets a lot better, in my experience. But the depression is what sticks. It's because XT is a neurotoxin. It damages brain. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Do you have any reason not to?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you have any reason not to go out? Have you, like, gone out and, like, been beaten up or something before? So you kind of...
No, I've never been beaten up. I mean, whenever I used to go out, it would be before, like, and I didn't even do ecstasy that much. I've done it, like, maybe 3 or 4 times, and it would be, like, one pill. And but whenever I would go out, it would be, I would turn into somebody else. It would be me against whoever, you know, is out there. It's, I ruled, you know, walk into a bar and...
On the ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure if you really added up the number of hits, I bet you'd be around 20, because that's usually where we start to see this.
Really? And then, like, my doctors have me on Paxil.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, they're treating you for social. Did you tell them you've been doing a lot of E?
Did I tell them what?
That you've been doing a lot of ecstasy?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
but
good.
See, the problem is that it's not helping.
All right, I rarely see the one that usually works for this is actually Prozac or Effexor, and maybe two Cymbalta. So you need very strong medicines because you're fighting injury damage. Here's another Dana, 29.
Hi.
Hey, Dana, what's up? You're on with Jack Osborne.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. First of all, I want to say love your show. Watching it made me feel like I was growing up again at home. My parents were the exact same way as yours are.
Good to hear. That's a good thing.
a lot of swearing in my house growing up, too. I swear to God, my dad and your dad would be, like, best buddies.
Interesting.
My question tonight
is—what's
that?
Go ahead.
My question tonight is, my boyfriend and I, we've been dating each other for 6 months now. We're moving in together, very much in love, very happy. Our sex life is generally always great, very active. However, we have different views on anal play. I'm not talking about, like, shoving things in there and going buck wild
go,
and whatnot.
Cheers,
very,
mate.
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
He's very against it. He thinks that it's, like, it's gross, disgusting, homosexual. But, however, he's heard from friends that, you know, it can be quite pleasurable. He's like, well, maybe if I'm drunk.
Why do you want to do it? I asked the same thing of men who insist on doing this stuff to women. Why do you want to do something to him that he finds uncomfortable and unpleasant?
Well, no, he's like, I don't like it. I'm like, well, have you ever done it? He's like,
Dana, I'd say 95% to 98% of men find it unpleasant to unlikable.
I'd compare it to shooting yourself in the foot. I've never done it, but I know I'm not going to like it when it happens.
I don't know what the hell this goddamn Cosmo and women's magazines that sort of somehow, I don't know what they got. I think they really have a vendetta against men. Here's what men think of that. Stop it.
Well,
are you kidding?
I don't read those magazines or anything, and the thing about it is that, like,
Here's what makes him absolutely happier than anything else in the world, when you have sex with him. That's it. That's as good as it gets. That's a hot fudge sundae with the whipped cream and the chair and everything. That's it for him. That's why he's with you. Right, Jack? Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You stay away from that with me.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Maybe you're with one, maybe I'll give even 3% of guys who are kind of into that. That's not your boyfriend.
isn't there, like, some form of pressure down there for that?
No. Stop it.
Stop hurting him. He doesn't like it.
No. Men are not, don't hold back sexually. If that were something he liked, trust me, he would let you know. Men do not hold back on stuff they like. They push you in that direction. Stuff they don't like, they say, please don't do that. And then they start getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it out, Dana. What is your preoccupation with this?
Well, I've never done it, and I've heard that it's pleasurable for men.
No! Stop it! Are you high?
Straight men, though.
Are you high? Dana, we're telling you something very clear.
No, they're not fully straight men. They're men that, like, they're not totally sure. Any guy that says they like it is not totally sure.
I'll even give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're just a little tiny percentage of straight men that like it, but the vast majority hate it. Do you understand?
Like I said, I'm not even talking about shoving things in there.
Dana?
Did Miss Mama Pinsky put her little pinky in Dr. Drew's little dump?
David Allen Greer. No, Dana, come on. Stop. Well, she's go ahead, Danny. Go down that path. See where that takes you. Oh boy. Your boyfriend's gonna Liz 17. Liz? There we are.
I was wondering if I don't know if you'd call it paranoia, but if that was a side effect of alcohol withdrawals.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things associated with alcohol withdrawal. You can be paranoid, you can be irritable, agitated, have seizures.
Okay, well, I didn't know paranoia crawling. Was one of them because, like, lately, I don't know, I've just been feeling like everyone hates me, everyone, like, I don't know, it's just weird, and I was thinking why I would be thinking that, and then I just, that's what I came up with, so I thought
you're
I would
17,
ask.
You're 17, why would you be an alcohol withdrawal? Alcohol use can cause this, too, not just alcohol withdrawal.
Oh, well, I haven't in about a month or so. And I
haven't used?
Like, I was like 5 or 6 a week, times a week.
You were drinking.
Yeah.
Were you getting drunk five or six times a week? Or were you drinking?
I'd say drunk like 4 times a week.
A week.
Yeah.
Starting at what age?
17. Well, probably started about 15 and a half.
And how did you manage to stop all that?
To stop?
Mm-hmm.
My counselor, we had to take this test, and then she like talked to me about I was like in the 98th percentile or something, and then my mom's an alcoholic, and I just, all of a sudden one day I was like, I don't want to be like her. I don't want to, whatever.
So yeah, moments of clarity.
Yeah, so I just want to stop.
Think about this stage of the game, Liz. You're 17. Your brain is still forming, and you're early in the disease.
That's also another thing. I was just thinking, like, I'm damaging myself. So
you are damaging yourself, but also your brain, because at this age, makes it somewhat easier to control your use. In a couple of years, you're going to have to do something to control it. Addiction is about not being able to control the use. That's why there are things like treatment and AA out there.
Okay.
So while it may seem like, oh, I stopped, no big deal now, it's going to become increasingly difficult with time. Are you smoking pot or doing anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
That's just a drinker.
I mean, it's worth, you know, maybe looking and, you know, looking for some further help, you know, through your school counselor. I'm sure, you know, they have the resources to point you in direction, but... You know, the earlier you can kind of nip this in the butt, the better. Because
yeah, she was trying to get me to join like a. It was my school counselor. She's trying to get me like to join a real group, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So I just was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Why don't you start a group anyway? I mean, you sound like you've been very traumatic at home. You've got an alcoholic mom.
No, it was actually like a school forced thing. I got in trouble in school, so you have to do it.
But what would be wrong with joining a group?
What was that?
Go ahead, Jack.
I mean, what's so bad about it? It's kind of, if anything, it can only help.
I guess, like talking about things like that to people. I don't know. Like, I don't like being in a big crowd, whatever, and talking about my personal life. So, not a big crowd, but you know.
So you got a fear of judgment.
I guess so.
Shame. Lots of shames. You got to hide out. You're as they say, you're as sick as your secret, Liz. So being around a supportive group of people with problems similar to yours could be very, very helpful, because in fact your problems are things that people will happily listen to, and you'll listen to theirs.
And if it helps any, most of those kids aren't in there for being grade A perfect students, so you haven't really got to worry about it. And you know, anything, you know they're all guilty to a certain degree, so.
And all feeling shame and all having issues and all from families that have issues, and it's part of being human.
Okay, and also if it's like
dismissed. Okay, Liz, what else?
Paranoia that I'm having.
Yes.
How can I? When is it going to go away? I mean,
I don't think it's from alcohol withdrawal. I think it's from trying. It's whatever. There's something more going on here than just the alcohol. A and B, you've stopped alcohol but not replaced it with anything, so it can make you very irritable, very depressed, and very desperate feeling. And so I think it's more irritability and dysphoria than really any paranoia per se. You don't believe people plan to persecute you. But if you don't replace that with something, this is going to get a lot worse. Kate, 19.
Hello.
Kate, you're on with Jack Osborne.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
I'm good, Kate. How are you?
I'm scared, actually. This guy who I was kind of seeing, we were into each other, he disappeared about a month ago for 3 weeks. And before that, you know, everything was going great with our relationship. Like, we were having fun. Like, he was a really normal guy. He had a job. He was going to college, and I was just really, really happy with the relationship. And
how old is he?
He was 22.
And how long were you happy like that?
For about a month before then.
So you've been dating a month?
Yes.
And?
And so anyway, during that time, we did have unprotected sex, and so he left for 3 weeks, and I had no idea where he was. I mean, he just stopped calling and everything. I mean, didn't even email me, wasn't on Instant Messenger, and my one friend told me that he called her, and he just said, I'm alive, and I don't even know. She just said, like, well, he called me, I just want to tell you that. Anyways, he showed up at my house about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and he's like, he looked horrible. He had lost, like, so much weight, and he told me, he's like, I just want to tell you that I'm sick. And then for a second, like, oh my God, he's going to tell me I have AIDS, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He said, he pulled down his pants, and he's like, and he had sores, like pomegranate seeds or something.
Pomegranate seeds?
Yes.
On his penis?
Yes, like really, really nasty things.
Can you say that again? What they look like? Pomegranate seeds. Were they like ulcers?
I don't know. I only could look for a second. And then I told him to get out of my house.
Sounds like warts.
It sounds like herpes, really, though. I mean, but so anyway.
I went and did research, and I was like, after I got over the shock, which took about a really long time, I was thinking, like, I mean, he looked pretty horrible. Like, he'd been doing drugs or something. Like, his skin was kind of, you know what I mean? Just really gross. And, do you think, like, I don't know, I really psyched myself out, and I was looking at all these different kinds of diseases online.
Good.
Do you think it could be syphilis? Because, I mean, if he looks really, really skinny, and God knows what he was doing for
No, syphilis usually takes years to give you that skinny wasting syndrome. Initially, in fact, it's a single ulcer that goes away, and it's painless. You're describing a series
but even when he showed up there, because we, like, talked for, like, 3 minutes, and he, like, how do we know that this hasn't been going on for years, you know? Because, I mean...
Kate, here's the deal. Why don't you find out from the guy what he's got? Because you
talking,
don't know...
He was talking in triangles when I was talking to him. See, I read all the symptoms, and I mean, you know how you go insane, like, right before it happens or whatever?
No, Kate, don't. You're not a doctor. I can't make any sense about what you're describing here. You're describing violaceous, raised lesions on the penis, which... Or really nothing.
How about this?
It could be. Yeah.
Sounds like he's doing speed.
Yeah, he's picking himself. Yeah, that's kind of what. That's not purely palpable, but they do pick on their penis too, and that's kind of what I think this is. That'd be my first guess.
Ew.
The guy's an amphetamine addict and picking.
But he was yellow, wouldn't that?
They look pale, and sallow, and all that. And they look like hell. So that's my first guess. That he's on a run. He's been picking. My second guess is that this is something like a herpetic process. Something that's something. I mean, it's a rash. You're talking about a rash. And rashes are typically herpes, warts, syphilis. And the syphilis is a single ulcer, so you're describing multiple raised things. And that's sort of herpes, so proven otherwise.
Wait, did you do the obvious and go get yourself checked out?
Uh-huh. No, I'm totally fine, but I need
to... But wait, have you gone and got yourself checked out?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
But now, I didn't get checked for syphilis, so that's why I'm freaking out.
No, well, that's a blood test. Yeah, I'm sure that's not what you have. And by the way, very treatable. Not a big deal. The problem, though, is you have to find out what this guy had. And I agree with Anderson. I think amphetamine is probably the number one, two, and three choices here.
Yeah.
All right?
I mean, yeah, it's just so incredible how it just takes people like that.
Speed?
Yeah.
It is incredible. It takes people down all the time.
Just being without even knowing. It's like...
Okay. Was he drinking or doing drugs before you lost track of him?
We go out and drink, like, a martini or whatever, you know? But, like, nothing to, like, excessive amounts.
You seem pretty... high strung Kate? Anxious? Yeah. Do you have support in your life?
Yeah, I have a great family.
All right, okay.
Well, it's just kind of a shock because I've had such a perfect life and something like this happens to me.
All right, well, it can happen to anybody. Not describing anything too over the top.
Yeah, I've had a perfect life too.
Jack is perfect, and he climbs El Capitan
so
now.
Cute. I love his family.
All right, why don't you call the guy, find out what he's got, and if he's, you said he was talking triangles again. That right? He's like making no sense, and that's kind of
amphetamine-induced psychosis.
Yeah, that's sort of a speed thing. I think that's what you're describing. All right,
Dr. Drew, can I ask you just recommend one more thing? Because I rarely ever hear you talking about it. It's another STD I came across.
Yeah.
HPV. I never ever hear you like.
I talk about warts all the time. Most people your age have it. You probably have that.
No, I don't.
You probably do, because most people your age do have it. And it's there's going to be a vaccine for it
that
available.
That sounded like a dying lemur.
There will be a vaccine for it before the 2006 year is out, I believe. And pretty much everybody reproductive age will get that vaccine. And while almost 50% of young people have it now, only a certain percentage of those will get the virus that causes cervical cancer. And once we get that vaccine, there will be no more of this virus passed along.
That'll is it going to be like you get it like when you're 13?
You will get it when you're young, and that's it, and that'll be the end of this whole deal. So the wart virus will be HPV will be a thing of the past. All right, let's take a break. How about that? With Kate sort of warming out a little bit.
I know. I feel like I need to take an Advil or something.
Oh, I get a shower. So Jack Osborne in the studio with us tonight. The show is Jack Osborne Adrenaline Junkie to air on Discovery?
Maybe. I think that's what I got told in England, but I'm not 100% on that.
Anywhere else people can see you? Anything else happening?
I'm doing a show for ABC called Mentor. It's kind of like I'm helping out a young kid who's trying to clean his act up with drugs and alcohol, and it's kind of...
Cool.
A bunch of other celebrities are doing it where they're taking, who've overcome certain problems themselves, and they're taking kids under their wings.
Oh, so. That's, for how long do you do that?
I've been for like the past month now, I've been hanging out with him.
That's good. Is he getting better?
Yeah, he seems to be doing really, really well. I mean, I'm impressed, you know, and he's really honest, and it's
You
nice.
Know, I did stuff for a news agency once where we filmed a recovery of a heroin addict, and I thought, oh, these cameras are going to be a disaster. It's going to hurt this person. And you know what? Cameras motivate people.
Yeah.
They kind of stay, they know somebody's watching, they kind of try. Try extra hard.
Absolutely.
All right, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jack Osborne in the studio. Loveline, we'll be right back.
Loveline. How do you want me to say it?
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Right, it's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. El Capitan climbing Jack Osborne in here tonight. Mother effing El Capitan. I can't believe that. Sleeping off a cocoon hammock 4,000 feet in the air.
Tons of fun. I could take you up to do it next year.
No, oh no, oh no.
You could do Loveline from El Cap. That's it's a novel idea,
oh,
but it
man.
Could happen.
It could happen, but it's not likely. I think more likely a moon rock's going to drop through this building right about now. All right, let's talk to Nina about her mohawk. Nina, what's going on?
Okay, I'm 13. You know, my mom probably knows about this. I'm at the age of rebellion. I want to do what I want to do. And Jack, I know you've been through this. I've been watching Osborne Show since I was little. And since thing. But I want to get... I think it's a lot of girls don't get them because, okay, I have friends in high school who have, like, the sides of their head shaved and have mohawks. It's nothing. I think that it's kind of sexist because guys, you know, everyone thinks only guys can BMX or skateboard or something. And that's, to me, that's sexist because girls should be able to do those kinds of things, too.
I agree, but if I were your parents, whether you were male or female, I wouldn't be happy with the mohawk.
But wait, how long is your hair now?
It's
like all
my ears.
It's, well, so is it longish?
No, it's pretty short.
I mean, hey, Sinead O'Connor pulled off a shaved head pretty nicely, but she was also really angry.
But I think head shaving is an angry thing.
It is. It's not a very inapproachable.
It's aggressive. It's mm-hmm. like, I think mohawk's even a little bit worse, really.
Really?
Little bit.
Well, I'm an advocate of mohawks on guys. I'm a little scared of girls when they get them.
Because it means aggression, right?
It does. It means, like, she'll probably hit me in the face.
She'll be like Dana. But I want Dana to have a mohawk, the one that wanted to touch the guy's rear end.
Yeah, she has definitely had a mohawk. Definitely.
Well,
and
like
one glove,
mom,
fingerless glove.
My mom agrees with me. She thinks if you can get your dad to agree with you, then it's fine. But my thing is, like, you know, I'm going to have it down because at school she's like, oh, well, you have to have it down or you can't have a mohawk at all. And so my agreement with, like, the principal is all she's going to let me spike it all.
If she makes that's fine. It down, spike it up.
It go just
down.
Sounds to me that you're just trying to, like, I don't know, from my perception, that you're just trying to, like, make a be noticed, maybe? Is that what
well,
it is you want?
If you've seen me at school, trust me, I'm already noticed. I'm the only one that's even a rocker at my school.
But you know but what? Like, every person that I've, you know, when I saw a great series once. It was like a documentary. And what they did was they went out and they filmed like 75 people dressed like I'm sure Nina does, you know, with a lot of metal and mohawks and stuff. And they asked, why do you do this? And every single one of them, to be an individual, to be myself. And you see them all dressed the same, mm-hmm. saying this thing about being an individual.
Absolutely.
It's Nina, it's, come on, who are you kidding?
Just, but you don't look... What if you shave a mohawk, you wake up in the morning after you've done it, you look in the mirror and you go, oh my God, I'm not going to school because you absolutely hate it.
For me right now, I know I want it. My original hairstyle, I saw the movie Tank Girl. I wanted to shave my head except for a square patch on the front because I was in love with that movie. I decided to settle for a mohawk because I get bored
of it. Hang on a second. What was that movie?
Tank Girl. It was a comic book cartoon turned into a movie. It was about like the future and there was a nuclear war and there's no water left and this girl drives a tank around and she has these weird kangaroo buddies, like these half human half kangaroo friends.
Wow. All right, Nina, well, okay. God bless you, enjoy. It's not gonna be an easy life. You're gonna spend the next part of your life wondering why you can't get a job and why people treat you differently and that people really don't accept you because you just state your mind.
Actually,
and they can't handle the fact that you're assertive and you just, the fact is you're aggressive, you're scary and angry, and it's difficult to be
the
around.
Depression actually runs in my on my father's side because he's, like, on medication for that. But I haven't had problems with that since last year, but last year I was in a mess, so...
All right. I would this mohawk business, in your case, really means something. Amanda, 17.
Hi.
Hey, Amanda, what's going on?
Nothing.
Okay, cool. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to talk to Jack.
Well, you're talking to him.
I know. Hi.
I just saw... Hi.
You just saw what?
I just wanted to say I think you're so gorgeous.
Really?
Don't we...
Beer goggles, darling. Beer goggles. I'm kidding.
Where is that Alfred Hitchcock sound?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's it?
Anything else? Any statement you'd like to say? Free Tukey, any of that, maybe?
Scat humor? All right, man, thanks very much. This is now Helena 14. Helena.
Helena,
I beg your pardon.
Hi.
And here we go.
Okay. Hello.
And this is where you talk. That's right.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Okay. I need to know if I'm, like, totally weird or not. Okay.
Okay.
Me and my boyfriend have been seeing each other for, like, 8 months now. And we've had sex, and I have, like, a thing with blood. And
How old is he?
He's 15.
Did you know you had this thing with blood before you started having sex with a 15-year-old?
Well, like, I kind of knew because, like, I cut myself and I would, like, I just...
All right, so you're a cutter. Here we go. So you're a cutter.
Okay, I'm a cutter, and I would, like, put it in my hand and smear it on my face, and I'd...
Mm-hmm. Okay, Helena, this is all very, very disturbed stuff, my dear.
First question, where's your dad?
Good question.
He's in Wisconsin, and he's a cocaine addict.
Excellent. And your mom, she an addict too?
No, she's an alcoholic.
Alcoholic, okay. And were you sexually abused or something as a kid?
I was exposed to, I was watching, my dad would sit in the living room and watch porn, and I was like 4, and my brother would, he would tell me that we were playing house, and he was the dad, and I was the mom, and it was normal, and he would like touch me and stuff.
Beautiful. So there we go. Perfectly normal, perfectly natural. American family.
Yay.
Yay.
White picket fence.
So we got the cocaine-addicted dad who's abandoning Helena. We have the alcoholic mom. We have the sexual abusive brother. We have the sexual misconduct of the dad showing you pornography at age 4. Adds up to trouble, my dear. Adds up to trouble. You really need to get some help. Can you do that?
I've tried to get help. I've been in counseling since I was 8 years old.
That's good.
I just keep getting worse. Like, it's not...
It's because you want to keep getting worse. And there's a solution to every problem. And as soon as you want, you know, as soon as you're willing to take the steps to change and stop figuring yourself out.
Talk about that. Well, now, what is that? And I, a lot of recovering people say that. They're like, oh, you just haven't hit bottom yet, or you just don't want to change. How do you get somebody to want to change?
They have to
hit bottom.
Hit to a bottom, whether it's, you know, emotional, spiritual, psychological, you know. There's so many levels to it. I mean, you just have to be ready to have enough. And have you had have you had enough of cutting yourself and
smearing blood on your face and
no,
screwing around with
the weird thing. I like the feeling, and I think it's beautiful to see my blood. I almost get sad when it stops bleeding. I think it's so beautiful.
Does it make you feel more alive?
I feel so great because I have like life dripping off my arm. And I don't know.
You know, Have you spoken to a counselor about this?
No.
Come on, Helena. What do you? Then you really aren't doing any work in therapy.
Well, I talked to her about like what I do during sex, and that was like my question. Like, I do things during sex, and I don't know if it's natural or if other people do it. Like,
what, a lot of cutting and blood with that too?
Well, like, we'll be having sex, and I'll tell him to like punch me or choke me, and
yeah, we dealt with this last night too. Yeah,
I want him to, like, cut me and this one.
Think about it this way. When you've been so overwhelmingly traumatized, it sort of burns out your arousal system. So in order to feel aroused, you have to have excess levels of stimulation in order to sort of even feel alive. In your case, you feel dead unless there's life dripping out of your body, you know, blood's dripping off you and you're being punched in the face. This is all very disturbed stuff, Helena. And you can regain the capacity to experience life normally on life's terms, but it's going to take some work. You have to want to do it. You have to get honest with your counselor and do what they tell you. It's the bottom line. People just don't do the work in any kind of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
They just go, oh, yeah, whatever. They just kind of blow it off as though these are sort of playful recommendations being made by professionals. No. This is the real. They're saying everything they tell you is explicitly for a reason and it's to be followed. Joe, 19. Turn off your radio.
Joe.
Hello.
There you are.
Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good. What's up?
Excuse me?
What's going on?
I'm trying to tell my story.
We're waiting.
My boyfriend is 25. I'm 19. And we adopted a kid. My mom adopted a kid, actually. And she put it under my name. So we had a good sex life in the beginning. But then now he wants to give up the kid.
Your boyfriend?
Yes, my boyfriend wants to give up the kid. So I don't know what I should do. Should I give up the kid back or keep him? Should I leave my boyfriend?
It's not a car. It's a life.
I don't understand this. How can your mother get the adoptive child? Where did you get the child come from?
No, my boyfriend.
I thought you said your mom adopted the child.
Yeah, but my boyfriend wants to give him up because...
Yeah, wait a minute. Stop about the boyfriend. How did your mom adopt this child?
Through child services.
And what... I don't understand. How did she get the child? How is she able to hand the child off to someone else that she has adopted?
No, she adopted, but it's my child, though. You know what I mean? Like, we consider it as our child.
No, I don't understand that.
Wait, what? How does this... This is really... You're not being clear. You're like...
Yeah. There's no such thing as what you're describing, by the way. So it's just a bogus call? Yeah, bogus call. Okay, there we go. This is Eric, 16.
What's up, Eric? Shout out to my neighbors there.
Jeez. Guys, screen these calls, please. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, good time. Jack, I blame you. So it's called Jack Osborne Adrenaline Junkie. Do we have an air date for this yet?
Hopefully sometime next year.
How about for the mentor program? Is that
the mentor, that's going to be the first quarter next year. I believe April, but might be earlier.
Do you know what network that's on? Or is that
ABC.
ABC.
Mm-hmm.
April, springtime. Okay. And who are the other celebrities involved in that?
I know one of the girls from Sopranos.
Mm. What was the issue?
Eating disorders.
Oh, interesting.
And I believe
these things take so much time that they're getting into.
Yeah, right? they've been working on it for a year already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's get another call here. This is a Melissa, 24. Melissa.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. Just wanted to say hi, and I just have a dilemma that I just can't stop thinking about.
Let's hear it.
My husband and I, we
we've been together since eighth grade. We broke up and during high school and stuff, and you know, we had a baby, we got married, and then for I would say almost 2 years now, like, he doesn't seem like he's interested in me, meaning like sex wise.
The baby's 2 years old?
The baby's three.
Three. Are you interested in him?
Yeah, I'm always the one to initiate everything. And
has it always been that way, or only since the baby was born?
Since the baby was born.
And is he, anything else going on with him? Is he on medication or anything like that?
No.
Nothing. Nothing has changed with him medically.
No. I ask him, is it me or what is it? And he says, no, it's him. And I tell him.
What is it about him? And what is it about him?
I don't know. He says he doesn't know what it is. And
how often were you having sex, and how often are you having sex now?
Now? God. Sometimes it's nothing for months.
And he doesn't give you an explanation for that?
No, I'll be like breaking down in front of him. Is it me? What is it? Are you cheating on me? All this stuff. And
guys that cheat usually get on their best behavior. They kind of double down on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Yeah, they try to, you know, make it really obvious that they're not
right.
Screwing around. But wait, did he watch You Give Birth?
Yeah, he did.
There are guys that freak out about the mom thing. Oh, somebody in the studio freaks out about that. Yeah, some guys.
I don't think that's true, because whenever he wants it, everything's okay. You know, he seems like he's interested in me, and then all of a sudden, when I want the pleasure in return, he's tired, he's done. It's literally, you know, less than a minute, and that's it.
And that's after 3 months of nothing?
Yeah.
And how often were you having sex before the shutdown?
When we were, you know, before we had the baby and before we got married, it was all the time.
And he won't, listen, we can speculate all day about what's going on here. I will tell you that when a man has a significant drop in his libido, the first thing he needs is a medical evaluation, because that can be one of the first signs of a serious medical problem. So that would be the first order of business. Make sure he's not doing drugs, not drinking, and not having a medical problem. Beyond that, if all that is ruled out, he's got to tell you what's going on, because we can speculate all day about what might be causing the shutdown, but we don't know him, so it's really essentially impossible for us to figure it out.
You could be finding sex just boring, you know? Sex with, you know...
He could be one of these guys. There are guys that sort of shut down. There are guys that have
boring.
Trouble when... Yeah, there are guys that shut down when the wife becomes a mom. They have whole different feelings about everything, but he knows this, and he's got to tell you about it, and I think you deserve an explanation, because the reality is physical intimacy is an important part of a relationship. It's an important part of the relationship sustaining itself, and you guys are in your early 20s. This is not going to be good when you're in your 50s. You're going to be pretty done with each other. So Jack Osborne here tonight. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Interesting calls here. A lot of interesting stuff.
We had the shout out. That was...
We heard a shout out. I think they cut that one out. I don't think everybody else heard that one. You cut that out, Anderson? Yeah, you just cut that out.
Good.
All right, so we're going to take another break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line, Jack, you've got to share that story you were just telling us about people falling off Yosemite Falls.
Yeah, when we were in Yosemite, an Irish guy, poor guy, went hiked all the way to the top of Yosemite Falls, and it's about 1,500 feet, I want to say, from the top of the falls all the way to the bottom, and he fell.
Ugh.
And they, when we were there, they still hadn't recovered his body. Because oh, it's mean.
Because the falls keep the...
Yeah, the water pressure keeps the body held under.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And their other bodies?
Yeah, they found three more bodies when we were there. You just have to wait on, you know, time kind of, you know, they'll eventually come out. And
oh, my God.
We go swimming in the river every day, and there's, like, dead bodies in it.
Nice. Very nice. Terrell, 20, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up? I had a question about... I smoke a lot of marijuana, like, a couple
no
times.
No kidding.
Seriously.
No kidding, dude.
What a perma high.
And I want to know, lately, like within the past month or so, I don't even need to smoke nearly as much. I could just take a couple hits and I'll be extremely stoned, like to where I used to have to smoke a couple bowls.
Well, there's a couple theories about that. There's all these MRI evidence of stuff laid down in your brain, left behind by the pot, that sometimes enhances the intoxicating effect. Also, your lipid system is completely saturated. Usually you take the pot and it sort of interfaces, it sort of gets into the fat tissue, but you've probably completely saturated that system now, where whatever you smoke gets into your bloodstream and stays there.
Yeah.
So there you go. You've really done a number on yourself.
And
if I quit, that'd go away, right?
It could take quite a while. Well, the fat will stay in the fat forever, basically.
Unless you really start
losing weight or something.
Yeah, and doing crazy like herbal detoxes and food fasts and all this kind of stuff.
It will come out.
Yeah.
Some people get high when they run, even just when they stop smoking pot and start, you know, losing weight and go out there running.
But just for a heads up, if you smoke a lot of pot, I was reading about in England how 80% of the psychiatric wards now are filled with men under 24 that are all in there for marijuana psychosis.
And I'll tell you that a significant percentage of the addicts we treat now have a marijuana as, if not a primary, at least a major contributor to the addictive process.
Yeah.
And when marijuana is addictive, it is very hard to stop. And you love that stuff. And when you love something, what do you mean? It's like giving up anything else you love. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you better watch it, because what happens is you get depressed, you start having trouble functioning at school, completing tasks, getting panic attacks. Eventually, what always happens with pot is that its effects start wearing off. Have you had that happen yet?
Yeah.
Well, you're getting used to getting high with it.
It seemed like
you're having the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do they think anything like there's a reverse?
No. I just explained to you what it was. You were sort of too high to catch it, I guess. But yeah.
Are you high right now?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, he's high all the time. Perma-high, as you said. And when you're ready to stop, you let somebody know, because this isn't something you're going to easily be able to do on your own. And when people do stop, there's often a very severe depression for about 6 months after they stop. So I would definitely look into it. Heather, 21.
Oh, hi. I was just calling because at night I have this discharge, this really, really bad discharge.
Two times.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
And it's just, there's so much of it, and it's only when I'm sleeping.
Huh.
And I saw somebody about it, and she told me to take antihistamines.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it helps, but only like half the time.
Weird. Was that sort of dry things up?
I guess so. But the weird thing is that when I'm having sex on a semi-regular basis, it doesn't happen.
That's very interesting. Did they give you a name for this?
No. She just said that that's just how much...
just you.
Yeah, that's just how much it produces.
I agree with her. I don't think it doesn't mean anything. I don't know why it's just at night. And maybe you are producing it during the day, but somehow it doesn't accumulate the same way or not as obvious. I also don't really understand why it's diminished when you're having sex. It doesn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah, like even if I'm just having sex on a regular basis, it wouldn't even have to be the same night or whatever. It just doesn't...
That's funny.
Happen. And it's weird too, because it's not like, gosh, I totally lost what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Well, discharges are sort of all over the place. Jack is cringing, but
I know
it's gross.
It
soaks my bed.
Nice.
Wow.
I know.
Are you sure you're
just
not
horrible.
Peeing yourself at night?
I mean, I've tried everything. I wear like a tampon, a pad, everything, and still soaks through.
Depends.
And now when you're having sex,
that's a good
idea. Do you have sort of night arousals, like night orgasms, that kind of thing?
No, I've never had an orgasm.
Ever?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a problem. But do you get sexually aroused during the night?
No.
Do you have sexy dreams or anything?
No, I really don't dream.
Maybe you just don't remember them. Don't you have like 4,000 dreams a night or something?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of you don't remember. Are you on any medication?
Yes.
What are you taking?
Effexor and Neurontin.
Are you depressed?
No, that's why I have the Effexor.
But, I mean, that's what you're taking it for. Depression and anxiety.
Depression and anxiety, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have this discharge before you got on all that medication?
No, it was a couple years after that, but it did start happening before I had sex. So it's not STD-related.
And does it get worse when your period's coming?
No.
Boring. All right, we got to move on. I agree with Anderson. It's not something we're going to be able to figure out. It sounds normal. Nothing you should be worried about. It's just a nuisance, okay?
Can I ask you a question about HPV?
Yeah.
You said that that most girls who have it don't even know that they have it.
Yes.
But at the same time, the only way you can get tested is during an outbreak.
No. That's not true.
No?
You can get tested when you have your pap smear done. They can usually detect it.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And if you have an outbreak and see the wart, then obviously you have it. But most people don't see the wart, don't have an outbreak, and still have evidence of the virus there. And they can be contagious at any time from then on. Most people, the virus kind of burns itself out within a couple years. A lot of people, the virus persists, and those are the people for whom there's a risk of cervical cancer. Right, Jack?
Yes.
Jack Osborne. Absolutely. In the studio. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191.
That was a strange...
Applause?
No, don't call.
A call. Yeah, it was,
that was weird.
You had a puss on the whole time. Like,
yeah, what do you say to that? I can't relate. I haven't dealt with that from personal experience.
Well, discharges are all over the place. Women have lots of kinds of discharges that are normal, and this one sounded very normal to me. So, and again, we're going to take another quick break. The phone number one more time, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. Talk to Jack Osborne. We'll be right back. Jack Osborne on Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. The movie or the series is going to be Jack Osborne, Adrenaline Junkie. Is the Osborne still playing somewhere?
Yeah, there's reruns on right now.
Actually. On MTV or MTV2 or somewhere else?
In England? No, I was watching the reruns in England when I was there last. But yeah, I think they still play it occasionally.
And do you spend your time between, what, Los Angeles or Hollywood and England?
Yeah, that's pretty much it now.
Still the same house that we all saw on television?
My parents are still in that house. I moved out.
Do you live out here in Hollywood, though, somewhere?
Yes, I do.
And then you have a place in England also?
Yes.
And again, in England, you're doing a series where you do crazy stuff all over the continent of Europe.
Yeah, and all over the world, really.
All over the world.
Yeah.
And it's more extreme sports or extreme...
Yeah, it's more we're trying to really push the kind of... It's more like anything physically enduring to where failure could result in death.
Nice. Have you come close?
Yeah, a few times, but nothing too. Probably the worst thing was that climb.
You mentioned that. Was there another one?
I
think we're in Thailand,
no,
or
no? We was pretty. You get on touch the mic wood,
for him, Jack.
Touch wood. We had a pretty pretty safe series, but this next one could get kind of hectic.
It's Jeremy 20.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
What's up, Jeremy?
I'm wondering if I should get a reversal surgery for a surgery that I had that's kind of messed me up.
What's going on?
It's called ETS surgery, where they cut the ganglia on your nerve and they stop you from sweating from the nipple up.
They do it in your. They did it in the neck, huh? They went through your chest.
Yeah. They did it on the sides, like with the scope, and I had it. Yeah. It's for facial blushing too, and that was my problem.
Well, it's for head sweating and that sort of thing. It's sort of. You know, some people get a predominant sweating in the head or in the back and this sort of thing, hands, palms, and there are surgeries where they cut the ganglion that supplies that, either the head and face or the hands in the case of people that sweat in their palms. And it works quite well, and the sweating sort of goes back to normal. You start sweating in usual spots. What's been the problem with this?
It was facial blushing was the reason I got it, and it didn't quit my facial blushing. And now that I don't sweat above the nipple, the lower half of my body sweats like 300%. Like I soak through my clothes, I soak through my mattress. Above 70 degrees, I just soak through my clothes completely.
Have you had an evaluation to see why you're having drenching sweats? I mean, there are different medical conditions that can cause that.
They talk about it like my body's making up for not sweating above.
No, I understand that. That's what happens, but you don't normally sweat through your sheets and sweat through your mattress, that sort of thing. That is usually a medical form of night sweat, and that needs to be evaluated more thoroughly.
I never had any kind of sweating problem before I got the surgery. They say it's just because I don't sweat above, I sweat so much below, and my heart rate's 40 now, and it used to be 80.
Mm-hmm. It changes your system. There's no doubt about it. And there's very little known about the sympathetic and rather the autonomic nervous system and its effect on the emotional systems.
Right.
You know, your sympathetic and parasympathetic system is a part that regulates your blood pressure and your heart rate and the sweating and this kind of thing. But that system is deeply ingrained in your emotional systems as well. They end in the emotional systems in the brain and certainly integrate with those systems. So it makes sense that you do things to that system and you might get problems with how you feel.
Could dieting, is that anything to do with oversweating?
It's a pretty aggressive intervention, and usually it works. Usually it works quite well, but it's something that can't be reversed, to my knowledge, so it's something you got to kind of learn to live with.
Jeremy, how much do you weigh?
180.
How tall are you?
5'9".
Oh,
pretty much about right.
Yeah.
And I can't stress strongly enough, I would just double check to make sure there's not something causing the excessive sweating, because usually you reiterated four times, because I'm not sweating above the nipple, I'm making up for it the rest of my body. Yes, but normally you sweat normally on the rest of your body, not excessively.
Yeah.
And I understand that you didn't have an excessive sweating problem before the surgery, but maybe something else has gone on too that has sort of not just changed the distribution of the sweating, but accelerated the kind of sweating you're getting. So I would go have a thorough and complete medical evaluation. Antonio, 21.
Yeah, I just had a quick question, man. First of all, Jack, I love you. I love your family. I recently had a sexual affair with somebody in Mexico, in Tijuana, Mexico. And I heard through a friend that she... What was that?
Nice. Yeah. It's always fun. Sexual affairs and TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, it tends to happen. But I heard a friend that that she was pretty pissed off about it. We were both pretty drunk, and I heard through a friend that she was pretty pissed off about it. And the thing is, I just want to know if there's anything that she can do to take me to court and just squash me. The thing is that she's kind of a celebrity.
Well, did you use a condom?
Yeah. I mean, fine. This was in Halloween, so I'm sure I would have heard by now if she was late. But then I heard from a friend that she was really pissed off about the whole situation. She's telling everybody that I came on to her, and that it was like pretty much forced and stuff. And it wasn't
people can do anything they want. They can claim anything they want. They can cause a lot of hassles for you. But whether she can sort of really carry through on this, really, I doubt it.
I think if she's a celebrity, or kind of a celebrity, it's going to be more of a headache on her behalf if she wants to take this to court, because it's going to show her up and everyone thinks she's going to be like a bit of a hussy because she sleeps with guys on one-night stands. It's just like,
But she's going to claim it's a rape.
Rape. Mm.
See, that's sort of the road she's going down. And that's hard to prove. What's that?
I heard through my friend that she didn't really say rape, but she was just saying, oh, yeah, he forced himself on me, and I had no choice, and this and that.
Well, that's without saying, using the word rape, that's describing rape.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
All right. Well, we don't have anything else to say about that, Antonio, unless you're going to tell us more information. But
like who it is. Yeah, get really juicy.
That's right. Let's give one more chance. You going to tell us who it is?
What is that?
You going to tell us who it is?
Probably not. I'm pretty sure you know her.
Really?
Yeah.
How old? Just throw out an age, and then I'll tell you. Then I'll guess if I do or not.
An age? I believe she's 19 or 20.
Okay.
That's somebody you would know?
Yeah, I think if it's who I'm thinking who's 19.
Oh, you actually...
He said you probably know her, so...
Wow. And somebody who goes to Tijuana?
I don't know. Potentially, maybe.
Really? Interesting. You're going to tell me who it is? All right, Anderson, I understand you're bored. Claudette, 24.
Hi. I was wondering if... I don't think it's normal, but my boyfriend, when he does math, he turns into a girl. He puts on female clothes and just weird stuff.
Like what? What weird stuff? Wait a minute, what weird stuff?
He does anal stuff and all that, and makeup and all, and his voice gets higher, and he puts on heels and everything, but... When he's not high, he swears he's not gay. He swears he's not gay when he's high, too. And he swears that there's nothing better than now for putting, for where to put his penis. Because it's actually made for it. It's more
Oh, well, that's a perfect explanation.
Absolutely.
Yes. In fact,
I thought it was made for something else.
Yes, and of course, the gay men that enjoy putting it elsewhere just seem to be just sort of misconstruing where it's supposed to go. That's all. They just have lost the concept of where the penis is supposed to go. Claudette, listen, this is all ridiculous. He is cross-dressing, and cross-dressing is a separate issue from sexual orientation. Just because he cross-dresses doesn't mean he's gay. And I will tell you, people that do a lot of amphetamine will act out sexually in strange and sort of de-repressed ways.
And the meth might be giving him that confidence to where he can actually express that and not feel self-conscious.
That's right. And so it's an issue. It's something going on. And the whole anal manipulation, I don't know what that has to do with this. But, you know, as we talked about earlier this evening, some guys kind of like that, gay or not. He's a cross-dresser. What are you going to do? You going to stay with this?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is that if he's been with men before and he likes them to be inside him only when he's high, but then when he's sober, he says he likes women.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is this bogus, Claudette?
No.
But you didn't say anything about him having men inside. You just talked about him cross-dressing.
A few times he's had men inside of him. But
he's gay.
Yeah, so he's gay.
He's gay, yeah. He says men inside of him. Men who have men inside of them are gay.
Usually. Yeah, I don't believe in bi.
I don't either. And there's, not for the most part. And there is such a thing as men who have sex with men that aren't gay in terms of a formal orientation. But let's just, for the sake of argument tonight, call this guy gay.
Yeah.
And why he's acting. Again, amphetamine, I've seen a lot of this where guys act out sexually with other men when they're high on speed.
Mm-hmm.
Even guys who are call themselves straight the rest of the time, all of a sudden, pow, they're out there with a guy. Use male prostitutes and things. You guys know some people, too?
Yeah.
I have to leave at this point.
Well, there's one there. How about that? All right. Well, look, he's an amphetamine. The bigger issue here is he is an amphetamine addict. That needs to be treated. That's going to progress and get a lot worse. And he may put you in harm's way, God knows, with his acting out in the meantime. Amanda, what's up? 19.
Hi, Dr. Drew. First off, I want to say that I really, really enjoy your show and all your advice.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, my question regards me and my on-again, off-again boyfriend. We got involved after, a long, long time of, denial. He liked me and I didn't like him. And just because, he's a bad boy kind of thing and I'm a good girl. And then we got together and we went out for about 3 months or so, and then during that time we kept breaking up. And one of the times that we broke up, because he said, we were too different. And another time he said, he's not ready for a serious relationship. And then after the breakup, he kept pretty much kept coming back and saying, he still cares about me. And
would you have sex with him when he came back?
He was actually my first real love, first real everything.
You didn't answer the question.
I'm sorry. We were sexually active. We didn't have other stuff.
When he would come back around, would you have sexual relationships with him?
We were more making out.
All right.
And when he came back, he knew I was a virgin before and all that. And, a while ago, a couple of months ago, maybe 2 months ago, he came back, apologizing for everything. And he said, he's still confused about, where he stands. And not with us, just he's confused about his life.
How old is he?
He's 19, too.
All right, what's the question?
I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do with him because he's trying to figure stuff out for himself, and recently he broke it off again.
This is Move on.
Yeah,
Amanda,
stop wasting
come on.
Your time. You're too
come
young.
On, 19. These things aren't supposed to last forever. Get on, date other people. Maybe even don't need a boyfriend right now. Just get used to figuring out who you are in relationships.
Yeah. Go online, meet a guy.
Enjoy. Really,
so
move on.
Think it's anything.
Move on.
But do you think he's just kind of weirded out, or I'm not really sure?
I don't know him, but I know you're wasting your time, and you're 19, and you shouldn't be wasting any more time with this guy.
Okay.
He's not committed. You're not into it. You're not getting much out of this. Maybe someday you will, but for now, go out and start dating other guys, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Logan, 22. Logan, what's going on?
One of my girlfriends, one of my girlfriend, she is worried that us having anal sex is gonna in the future leave her with uncontrollable bowels.
They can do that.
How much are you having it, and what else are you putting in there?
actually nothing, just me, and not very often, but
it can do that. It can cause tears, fissures, prolapse. Oh, we got David Don Greer talking about prolapse in there.
Wow. All right. Well, that was my question.
It's a part of the body that has lots of pathology as you age normally. You do this stuff to it, I believe we're going to see a lot more serious stuff down the road. Let's hear David Unger talk about it.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
All right, Logan, why are you so into that anyway?
Actually, I'm not very into it at all. We've done it a few times.
All right, then no big deal. Good times. Heather, 28, what's going on there?
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
I'm good, Heather. What's up with you?
Great. I am an upper level escort, so please don't judge me too much. I'm also
what
is
that,
a writer.
What does that mean?
That I'm not walking the streets and that I'm somewhere around $400 or $500 an hour.
Okay. And you're a biker, is that what you said?
No, I'm an escort.
No, oh, I thought you said I'm a biker or something.
No, okay. I'm a writer. I work.
Oh, writer. Okay.
$400 or $500. So I'm supplementing my income.
Do you have dual lives?
No, because everybody in my life knows about the other, just because I realize that there are risks with what I do, and if something ever were to happen to me, the last way that I would want my family to find out would be via newspapers or media or the cops, you know what I'm saying?
So who in your family do you tell about this?
Oh, everybody in my family knows.
That
everybody
you're,
is aware.
Wow.
Prostitute.
Yeah, for lack of a better word, I mean... Did you just go ding one day? I'm going to be an upper class hooker because there's good money.
No, actually, I used to work for the government, and myself and three other women in our office were being sexually harassed by our boss, who was male, and I decided that I was going to do the right thing and stood up for all of us. Of course, I was 24 or 25 then, so you know, I was idealistic, thought I'm doing the right thing. Yada, yada, yada. So, long story short, I am not able to work for the government anymore as a contractor. I'm sorry, I'm walking into the house.
I'm not able to
work as a contractor, so that was kind of, you know, that was my thing. That's what I did. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and that's what you do. You know, my parents worked for the government.
When all the guys get dismissed from UAW, they become male prostitutes. That's what you do.
There's no connection here. You got fired from working for the government, and now you become a prostitute. Like, what?
Well, when you live in the Washington, D.C. area and you've worked for the government, no private sector business will hire you because of the stigma of underworked and overpaid.
You've got to be kidding. Heather, please. Oh, come on.
Look, you can judge me. I enjoy my
I'm not job. Judging you. I'm saying your thinking is disturbed. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's
you know what? There are plenty of women out there who have one-night stands in Tijuana. There's plenty of men.
Now you're going on to something else, Heather. To a whole different... You're jumping topics. You're oblique. Here's the deal. We're just saying, why did you go from losing your job in one sector to going, well, now I'm a prostitute, as opposed to finding new work as everybody else does when the factory closes down, when they've been in one profession and that profession no longer is available to them, or they have injuries and they need vocational rehab, whatever it is, people find new work. They don't become prostitutes.
I agree.
So why didn't you do that?
I made a different choice.
Okay.
And I don't have moralistic issues with my choice.
We don't either. I just don't want to, I have moralistic issues with BS. And so you had a bunch of BS you were giving us there, and
I don't like
to hear that.
I did switch careers, and I work as a writer, and it does not pay the bills very well. I'm not a person who wants to work two or three jobs. Most people don't, and so I found a different route that works for me.
She's a ho ho ho. She's a ho. She's a ho. She's a ho ho ho. She's a ho. She's a ho ho ho. She's a ho. She's a ho ho ho.
Okay, and so what's the question tonight?
The question is, I do perform oral sex. As most people do, but obviously I'm in a higher risk category. I do not use condoms for that. However, I do use condoms, obviously, for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, what is the real risk of transmitting sexually transmitted diseases? I've done plenty of research. I've spoken to my doctor. My understanding is that for a majority of it, with the exclusion of an open sore in the oral cavity, the risk is relatively small. Still there,
yes.
But small.
The risk would be from the mucosal services, gonorrhea or chlamydia. You can get that in the throat.
Right.
But the risk of the viral diseases is primarily caused by swallowing semen. So if you avoid that, you sort of take that risk down. All right, so your risk is lowish.
What about, can you get herpes that way?
Like you said, you can get skin lesions, you can get herpes, you can give herpes, you can get gonorrhea, you can get chlamydia, you can get syphilis, but it's relatively uncommon. It's not but it happens. So there you go.
Okay. Phenomenal.
So it's a vocational liability.
That's correct.
Do you do anything funny with these guys? Do these guys ever ask you to do weird stuff?
No, I don't attract that sort of client base. My advertising is such that I present myself as the intelligent individual that I am. So I kind of
do. You have regular clients?
Yeah, of course I do.
Were you sexually abused as a kid yourself?
We can go into tons of psychology if you'd like. Yes, I was physically abused by a stepfather, verbally, emotionally, mentally abused by a mother.
All right, so that's where the...
My next-door neighbor, my first experience with sex was rape at 14 by a friend.
All right, so that's where this sort of boundarylessness comes in your relationships, and where the sort of what normal people would perceive as a something they wouldn't be inclined to go towards, you don't see that because of all the abuse, or you actually may seek it as a way of reenacting the trauma. In fact, you know, things that terrorize in childhood become very attractive in adulthood.
I disagree. I've never been in a physically abusive relationship with a man.
But you sell your body. It's
an exact reproduction of what you went through.
Is it?
You may not have any bad feelings about it. That's fine. But in fact, that's what I'm saying. We find attractive those things that were terrorizing in childhood, and you enlist people to reenact it over and over and over again. And that's what you're doing. And you get stuck in this trauma cycle. And if that's working for you right now, so be it.
She's got that that stripper attitude, I'm right, you're wrong, right. And it's okay what
that's
I
right.
do.
It begs no discussion. And that's fine. You do whatever you want, Heather. No one cares. That's really, we care if you're in harm's way, and if you're hurting, we care for you as a human being. But whatever you want to do, you go ahead and do. Yeah. Did you see My Name is Earl last week?
I haven't seen that show yet.
It's very funny. And oh, it's hysterical. And
we were actually talking about it on the way.
And
yeah.
his ex-stepmother comes in, and she's a gambling addict. And she does these outrageous things. And every time she does it, he finds out. He goes, don't judge me. Don't judge me. You cannot judge me. I make my own choice. It's like, nobody's judging, Heather. Heather, no one's judging.
Yeah.
No one's judging. Jack, nor I, you judging? I don't. No. We're interested. We're very interested in what makes people motivates them to do these things. There you go. You have all the history of someone that does what you do. Almost every time I've ever talked to somebody like that. Sarah, what's going on? You're 20. Sarah?
What? Hi.
What's up?
Is this true?
Here you go.
Oh,
this is where you talk to us. Yeah.
Are I supposed to see my question now?
Yes, please.
Okay, sorry. Okay, my boyfriend is in Iraq right now fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But he's married and has a lot of kids. But when we first got together, he told me that they were, in the process of getting a divorce. But the only reason they were together still was for the Army discount benefit stuff.
Boy, we had a call like this last night. This keeps happening again and again and again, that these guys get married to have certain benefits, but then the relationship with the so-called wife seems to be a little bit more than just a convenience arrangement. So what do you want to do here? What's going on?
But usually when they have kids together.
Yeah, what do you mean? There's a child involved with this?
There's a lot. He has an old girlfriend from before that, and they have 3 kids. And then there's his wife, and he has a kid with her.
Oh, this guy sounds like a delight. Sarah, this is the guy you want to get your hands on.
Absolutely.
This guy, in fact, do me a favor. You should have 4 kids. That way you'll trump the other wives.
My 4 kids beat 4.
And then this guy will have 8 illegitimate children out there that he's sired. This criminal, thank God he's fighting in Iraq trying to redeem himself. I mean, at least he's being of service. But for God's sakes, Sarah, what are you doing?
Well, he was my first.
That's great. How old is he?
Hello?
How old is he?
28.
How old?
28.
All right, let him go.
But
sweet. No one's with their first anymore.
Yeah, he's also killing loads of people.
He is somebody, this is a horrible guy. I know he's who, your feeling is that he's a certain guy that you wish him to be. That is not who he is. This is a bad guy who's actually a burden to society by siring kids he doesn't take care of and doesn't fall through on creating a family with. And he certainly isn't going to do it with you, Sarah. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. These guys don't turn it around.
And he's not even
like
in the country.
He's away anyway. And he's away with his wife and kid. So come on. Let's get it together here, Sarah. Let's just break it down. Have a life here. Let's get
Susie
another guy.
Homebreaker.
Get a guy your age, somebody who really cares about you, a little less exciting than this guy.
Yeah.
And you lead to a much happier
Doesn't wield weapons.
No, yeah, or even the weapon wielding's okay, as long as he doesn't have a wife and kids. Jack Osborne in the studio. Phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. You'll be able to see Jack Osborne on Mentor in the spring. Jack Osborne, Adrenaline Junkie, coming up sometime soon, we hope.
Yeah.
Where he climbs El Capitan and
hopefully doesn't die. Well,
leaps off Yosemite Falls, and we'll be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, Jack Osborne. And there's a call in there that says, how can you not bring up transfer of AIDS orally? Which we did talk about.
Yes.
We talked about how it's transferred through semen particularly. And she talked about the risk, which she said was obvious, but that it's relatively uncommon to get through oral sex. So I'm not going to take that call, those of you doing the screening. This is Quentin, 16.
Yeah, I've been trying to, I broke my hip a year ago, and I have real bad pain, and I've been wanting to get my cannabis card.
Yeah, don't.
Liar, whore, you
I'm
know
sure,
it.
Oh, I'm sure he has been going to get a cannabis card because he smokes a lot of pot.
Yeah, it's very apparent you smoke a lot of pot, Quentin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been asked for cannabis for therapeutic purposes from anyone other than a marijuana addict.
Well, and by the way, I love marijuana, but
I know you do,
really,
and that's
I have really bad pains, dude. And there's nothing else that'll take the pain away.
Yeah, yeah, there is. It's called physiotherapy and Advil.
All kinds of things. Are you on painkillers also in addition to pot?
Oh yeah, I like painkillers. They're good.
Right, well, that's the pain. The painkillers and pot actually cause pain, Quentin. They actually induce a syndrome in the brain where pain intensifies, and you can get low back pain, headaches, limb pain. And it's basically a chronic state of withdrawal you're in, and it takes about 3 months for that pain to go away once you stop the pot. So the pot would not be the right thing to do for you. However, if you were dying of cancer or something, fine.
Yeah,
enjoy.
Go for it, dude.
Enjoy, but that's not you. You're just a marijuana addict, an opiate addict. Neil, 24.
Hey, guys.
Neil, what's going on?
I just am having some trouble understanding this whole theory behind women wanting to go after the bad guy, the abusive guy. And I don't understand it fully because, I mean, I'm a 24-year-old. You know, young guy, but I'm extremely successful. And
nice guy syndrome.
Yeah, too nice.
It's his nice guy syndrome, and I see it a lot within my friends.
I just, I can't bring myself to disrespect somebody so drastically, like a lot of
people. No, no, no. There's two things. One is, who are you choosing? You're choosing women that probably have some issues and sort of are more attracted to more brutal men that are more unpleasant to be around. There's a certain personality. Basically, people with borderline personality traits tend to be attracted to people with sociopathic traits, men. And so you're sort of going for these sort of very borderline-ish female, probably, and they're not interested in you. Secondly, no women are interested in guys that are clingy and that are sort of not
sensitive.
Yeah, not ready to lead, not to really take the lead in a relationship and give a piece of themselves into the relationship.
How's your self-confidence?
Oh, I'm great. The thing is not necessarily do I have the hero syndrome. Instead, I actually tend to go for girls that I think would be the kind of person that I could have a lasting relationship on a quality with, right?
Yeah, but who knows what that means?
Well, you know, something where I can feel as though I'm a peer with somebody. But
yeah, I understand. That's your perception of who they are, but you're the one doing the choosing, so who knows what that actually means?
Oh, that's true.
You're choosing people who are not – you're attracted to people who are not attracted to you. And that, you know, are you choosing young women?
I have an age range. I would prefer to have a woman older than 21, younger than 28. I mean, it's
the Star Wars sound there. Star Trek.
Attractive meme.
Yeah. Neil, there's no doubt that a good guy who is successful, who has something to offer, will find somebody. And if that's not happening, you're not going to be the only guy on earth that can't find somebody. That's not. But if you insist on being around and attracted to people who aren't into you, the only variable in this is you. And that must mean you're choosing people or insisting upon going after people that are not available.
Very well.
Right? That's the only variable in this is you.
I mean, if you're a stand-up guy, you know.
You will find somebody.
Absolutely.
You have to date a lot. You have to work at it like anything else. You have to go out and meet people. You can't sit home and wait for people to come to you.
No, that's not the case either. I mean, almost every weekend I'm going out with my friends, and I'm always open to, you know, just meeting new people and being in situations where...
Get drunk, go to a girl on the dance floor and kiss her.
You can't get a date?
Exactly.
You can't get a date.
That's what it boils down to.
You ask people for their phone number, and they won't give it to you.
It's any manner of things, right? You ask them for their number, and they blow you off, or you know, however it is, right? And it's not like I'm an unattractive guy, but I just don't understand it. Do I just exude some kind of vibe of not being the bad boy enough? Is that it?
No, give that up. That's
BS.
Unless, again, you're going for women with a certain sort of personality pathology who only go for bad guys.
Drew, this guy's a prime candidate to go on the internet and get a girlfriend. Like, through yes. dating services.
I am on 5 dating websites.
Wow.
5.
Have you tried MySpace? It's the easiest one out of the lot. Okay.
Dude, he's going to find himself. That's what he's looking for.
I mean, do you guys understand? You know, I'm on MySpace, Match, True. I'm on Chemistry. I'm on eHarmony.
Maybe you're too desperate.
Yeah. Oh,
no, that's not it at all. For the most part, I go up there not to meet a girlfriend. It's more just to meet people to hang out with, right? People to, you know, go do stuff with, rock climb, snowboard, whatever, see movies. It's not necessarily a...
You need to go to the rock gym.
Well, I you know, we turn over all the cards. We don't know Neil. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know what he's like in a relationship. I don't know. I don't know what the price is. But I know that a good guy, Michelle helped me out with this, a good guy who's got something to offer, we'll find somebody. That's all there is to it. This is Anastasia 18.
Hi, Dr. Drew. I love your show.
Thank you. What's up?
Yes. Well, me and my boyfriend have been dating for nearly a year now, and no sex at all. And I'm still a virgin, and he's ready. I'm sorry?
That's good. And he's ready?
He's ready. I think I'm ready, but I'm nervous because I've obviously never had sex before, and I don't know if, like, it comes to naturally. I don't want to mess up and have my first time not be very memorable.
Well, the first time is never what you expect it to be, unfortunately.
Unless it's with a porn star.
It's really, the first time is something you kind of got to get through more than anything, and you guys have to figure each other out. It's going to take some time. Believe me, no matter what you do, he's not going to be disappointed. Guys are very easy to please that way. But it's almost never for a woman some sort of glorious experience that she dreams of. It's just two humans having sexual relationships.
Yeah,
and sex is one of the more natural things on the planet.
And so far, pretty much every human that walks the planet does it and has managed to negotiate that first experience. So I think you'll figure that out too, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, good luck now. This is now Robbie, 18.
Hey, I just had a question. I was with a girl for about a year and about 8 months. And, I already, you know, this girl I was with, she was just very demanding, sort of just a very self-absorbed kind of a girl. And I'm just wondering, do you think a young woman, maybe my age, 18, or maybe sort of like, kind of getting away with too much, I guess. Like, she'd always play the victim role. I mean, like, everything I did was wrong, but everything she always did was always right. Kind of know what I mean?
Well, the women, you know, 18-year-old woman who is on top of the world is basically like a celebrity. You know, they walk in the room, people look at them, they've got sort of the power, and they do, you know, learn to maybe use that power a little bit in ways that are, you know, they're 18 years old. It's hard for them to, it's like 18-year-old basketball stars or something. They don't really know what to do with all this yet, and they may act in ways that they're unpleasant to be around. In terms of her being the victim all the time, it always worries me that somebody actually has been victimized, and people that have been victimized will find reasons to put themselves in a victim role. Nicole, 20.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. What's happening there?
Well, I've been with my boyfriend now for 2 years. I have scleroderma. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Do you have CREST or scleroderma? PSS.
Scleroderma.
It's progressive systemic sclerosis.
When I was younger, about 10, I've had it since I was 3.
How rare.
Yeah.
It's an autoimmune disease where your soft tissue is attacked and you get basically thickening of the skin and then sort of a drawing of the skin around the hands, particularly, what's called sclerodactyly.
Right.
You get pulmonary hypertension, you get kidney disease and high blood pressure. They're just some of the things
you
get.
Wow, so it was just a really random,
It's a bad autoimmune disease.
It doesn't affect my hands at all, though.
You don't have sclerodactyly.
No, it just, it affected, at first it was like a little red spot on my right leg, and then it, throughout the years, of course, it's spread pretty much about like, I'd say 50 or 60% of my body now. And
oh, it's a, you have the skin disease. Only it's morphia then. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, they say it's linear, I guess.
It's morphia. Morphia is something that's usually limited to the skin. So that's not scleroderma. That's not progressive systemic sclerosis. That's morphia. Okay, so anyway, what's the question?
The question would be, and regarding my sex life, it's gone completely down. And in the beginning of our relationship, everything was fine, but more so lately, I've actually started going on treatment, and I find when I look at myself, my sex drive just goes down.
Because you don't feel like you look sexy.
Right.
Did your boyfriend tell you you're sexy?
Oh, all the time.
You know, women do this a lot. If they don't, why do you wear lingerie? Oh, for me. Not for him, for me. Women do that. If they don't look and feel sexy, it's hard for them to be sexual. And then when their partners say, honey, I love you, you look great anyway, then they feel not only not sexy, but not understood.
Mm-hmm.
And feel they get angry with their partners when they try to reassure them.
Drew,
so
when was the last time
position?
You heard about a disease you had no idea what it was?
Oh, that's pretty hard. I mean, because I've been around this a long time.
So, like, you've pretty much
seen it all.
Wow.
Yeah. Whether it's Hallervorden-Schwarz disease or Toulouse-Hunt or all stuff you've never even heard of. I've seen it all.
Wow.
So, Nicole, you know, this all I would say to you is maybe let in what your boyfriend's telling you and realize he's not just...
blowing smoke?
Not just blowing smoke. He means it.
Yeah. I mean, if he's still with you, too, I mean...
Yeah.
Guys are pretty shallow, and if they don't think a girl's hot, they'll leave them.
They do.
Ultimately.
Guys are lame.
He's a great guy, and most of the time, you know, I start off, but it's just when things get really intense, and then I just happen to look down at my leg or something, I just think, you know, I can't really figure out if it bothers him or not.
Listen, he's telling you it doesn't. Okay? Come on.
Alrighty.
It's all good. He loves you. He likes how you look. He likes being physical and sexual with you. Don't spoil that there's got to be some self-esteem and issues in here also for you. Kind of focus on building your life and staying positive.
Yeah, don't think too much.
Yeah, don't overthink stuff. Realize what he's saying he means. Trust him. Juan, 20.
Hello, Juan. Drew, I have a question. My girlfriend is pregnant again, but she barely had delivered a baby 3 months ago. She had a C-section, and we recently found out she's pregnant again.
Juan, what are you doing, dude?
Condom, buddy, condom.
That's her bangs.
Yeah, I know, man. That's a mistake I did. That was a mistake I did. I was too horny.
Is he hot?
Condom.
I know.
Vote for Pedro. Okay, so what do you want to do?
I don't know. Would it be safe for her to have the kid again or not? Because she already had two C-sections already.
It should be fine.
Isn't 3 months like the allotted? Like,
well, they're not gonna try a vaginal delivery. They're gonna just do another C-section. It should be all right.
It should be all right.
I think so. I have her see an obstetrician right away. But
congratulations.
Yeah, it's your third baby.
Yeah, no, actually, my fourth baby.
Oh my God, Juan, what are you doing?
Juan, you Casanova.
But Juan, how do you support 420? How do you do that?
Look, man, I've been working odd jobs, trying to go to school again. And
oh, Juan, God bless you. This is going to be...
Is it with the same woman, though, all four?
Yeah. All four with the same woman.
Are you guys married?
No, we're not.
I like her bangs.
But every time we hook up to try to get married, and we find out she's pregnant.
Well, get married anyway.
Yeah, go down to the courtroom, get married.
I tell you what, the horse is out of the barn. The secret's out about the pregnancies, okay? Mm. And people will see you guys with three kids. Don't worry about this next pregnancy spoiling the wedding.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
People will be ashamed that she's pregnant. You can't get married. People might find out I'm pregnant.
Oh, excuse me. Drew, I have another question.
That's a little sad.
She also, for the past two pregnancies, she's been very, very sensitive in her vagina that I will barely stick my penis in, and she'll start hurting, and it will be sore for her.
It's a sledgehammer.
Does that be normal for her also, or not?
Yeah, that can happen. Is that in the second trimester that happens, or in the third trimester?
It's barely in the beginning.
And does that get better as the pregnancy goes on?
No, I guess worse. It's just like...
Oh, that's a shame. Well, they get a lot of swelling and irritation down there sometimes during pregnancy. Some women get more sexually aroused as the pregnancy progressed, and again, one of the many jokes God plays on humanity is that whole phenomenon. But some, it's also irritation. And you really make sure you get proper prenatal care. There can be vaginal infections. vaginitis is a significant risk factor for preterm abortions or miscarriages. So 1-800-LOVE-191 is our number. Jack Osborne is our guest. The show is Jack Osborne, Adrenaline Junkie. Jack is now sober and thin and healthy and having a great time and helping you with your multiple children, multiple orgasms, whatever it might
prostitution.
Be. Prostitution, sexual abuse. Let's see. You're in trouble with bad girls that only like bad guys. Enjoys phone sex over going out and meeting guys. Interesting. Booty calls, leaving for the Coast Guard. We'll get to some of these calls after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Loveline will be right back.
That's right, it's Loveline. Jack Osborne in here with us tonight. And hey, Anderson, Jack was just chatting with me off the air here about one of our stranger calls, which I know you have a drop from, about the guy who stole a head. Who broke into a mausoleum, twisted a head off somebody, and took it home for a decoration for a snake's aquarium.
Yeah, and the guy who's asking the question, I have no idea who this guy was.
I remember he's an Australian guy. He had some TV show briefly, but I don't remember what his name was.
So the guest, we don't know who this is, sorry, but here's the...
You'll hear the voice, the chilling voice of this guy that stole a head.
Point, the pivotal point that you decided, I want me a head, a human head.
I was thinking of like a decoration for an aquarium.
There he is. That's him.
Wow.
You know, Drew, one that you always forget that I really liked, and I just thought of it last week, was a guy that was beating off in the shower, and he put a plunger down in the shower floor, and he was putting it up his butt and going up and down, and then he slipped.
Oh!
And that's how you kill yourself.
And yes, he was in a lot of pain, and he called, and you told him to go straight to the emergency room.
But yeah. he was actually just
I don't remember that. Maybe I didn't believe it as part of the
deal. Actually, no, it hadn't just happened. He was having recurring problems as a result of it, and we did believe it.
Oh, well, I like that one now that you brought it to my attention.
And the girl that had sex with her plant.
Her plant?
Yeah, was it a cactus?
It was some kind of bulbous cactus, but it didn't have quills, and she would take it. And then she had to plant it because it got too big, so she planted it out back, and she was having sex with it in her yard, and she was afraid the neighbors were watching.
I was not here for that one.
Maybe I made that up.
It's amazing what does pass my plate, though, that I leave behind is just so much background noise. Just amazing. Let's see. This is Jessica, 23. What's up there, Jessica?
Hi. This is hard to explain. Me and my boyfriend have been going out for a couple years. And, you know, we used to have sex, like, all the time. But, like, the last 2 months or so, for some reason, we haven't had sex in 2 months because I can't get in the mood.
Are you on medication?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm not taking anything. I rarely drink. I'm a smoker, but I've been smoking for 9 years.
And is there anything else? You're getting depressed? Could you be pregnant? Is there anything in the relationship going on?
Do you do drugs?
No, I don't do drugs. I'm actually a security guard.
Are you depressed?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Something going on in the relationship?
Nope. You know, I'm in jail.
Nothing.
No, you know, I mean, he kisses my neck, and it feels like he's tickling me. I don't get aroused.
Well, you're shut down sexually. I get that. You might want to have a medical evaluation because very often any kind of medical problem can shut you down sexually, particularly women. Medication is the most common reason for that. But beyond that, it means there's something wrong with the relationship. Or you're depressed. It's going to be emotional for you.
But, you know, he's never cheated on me. He's never lied to me. We're happy. We're talking about getting married.
Yeah, maybe that's what's freaking you out. Maybe marriage means something bad.
Actually, I was kind of happy about it when he proposed to me. You know.
Do you come from a broken family?
You know, my mom's kind of temperamental, but not really.
There was no divorce in your family?
Nope.
Then, Jessica, you've got to kind of figure this out. There's something going on here. In fact, when people have a drop in the sex drive, that is one of the more sensitive...
I know that. I understand that. I've seen my friends that are depressed that have that problem, but...
No, I'm not just talking about depression. It's a good sign of something going on in the relationship. That is a very, very, that's the first place that sort of, the most sensitive place for evidence of trouble. Whether it's something that you're fearful of being too intimate or fearful of what, you know, or don't like how he is on some level. Or maybe you've sort of fallen out of love or wound down. Or maybe the prospect of marriage is freaking you out. Something you've got to get honest about is affecting how you feel about this person and impairing your ability to feel sexual. I don't know what it is. You know, it's hard. We can turn all the cards. And maybe it's something with him. Maybe it's something with you. I don't know.
Maybe you're just not horny.
Well, but all of a sudden, maybe you're just not into this guy. You've been in your early 20s. You've been with him a couple of years. Maybe this thing's sort of winding down. That definitely happens all the time. Brittany, 16.
Hello?
What's up, Brittany?
Hi. Well, like, it's weird. I like to talk on the phone a whole bunch, and, like, I'm into, like, not meeting guys, but, like, just talking to them on the phone and, like, trying to build a relationship. Like, and, like, I'm just not working, like, on trying to meet anybody in real life. And I wonder, is that weird? Like, I know that's weird, but...
It's sort of protection, isn't it?
That's very much, it's shy and...
It's fantasy, and you're not going out and meeting these guys. You're not telling them who you are or where you are, thank God, and don't ever do that. It's just fantasy. That's fine.
Yeah, and they don't physically get the opportunity to judge you anyway. I mean, you probably just...
People do this on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so it's okay. It's not like gonna...
I mean, it might start... You might start depending upon it, and that's
Are you having phone sex with these guys?
Yeah. And see, like, I will go out and have sex with other guys too, though. See, and like,
You will, or you won't. You're going out and having sex with other guys too.
Like other guys that I dated too. Like I haven't just dated over the phone, but
there's no such thing as dating over the phone, darling.
dear, sorry.
How many guys have you had sex with?
Four.
Yeah, you're moving along a little fast for 16, don't you think?
Kind of, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's time to just have a...
Well, when did you first start having sex?
When I was 13.
Oh, how old was that guy?
19. I always dated older guys. Like,
all right, well, that is sexual abuse, Brittany.
Yeah.
So you were sexually abused at 13, and when that happens, that can kind of set you on a little bit of momentum where you're looking for these guys that reenact these. This when you're 19, you will absolutely retch when you think about your peers having sex with a 13-year-old.
Dude.
Guy is a criminal, Brittany. You understand that?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so you've been with criminal. Are you with older age guys now? Guys older than...
Yeah, like 19.
Illegal.
To like 24.
Brittany, something very wrong here.
How old are the guys she's talking to, though?
God only knows. Who knows what they say they are as opposed to what they actually are. Brittany, please get some help from each one of these situations. They rape and a sexual abuse. You've got to get help. The laws are the way they are to protect you. Not to protect the guys, because believe me, when you're 24 or 19 and you think about your peers being with a 16-year-old, you'll be shocked at who those guys are. They are sick. All right? Take it easy. Get some help with this. It's Loveline, and we'll be right back.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Loveline will be right back.
Keeps telling me uplifting stories, so I leave with a great lofty sense of spirit and hope for humanity.
Yes, there is hope.
Talking about Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
Nice. Jack Osborne, thank you for coming in, Jack. We really appreciate it. The show is Jack Osborne, Adrenaline Junkie. See him scale some of the highest mountains in Yosemite, El Capitan particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and tomorrow we've got to Be Real from Cypress Hill. We've got David Alan Greer next week. So, this is on behalf of Jack Osborne, Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well. What they look like?
Pomegranate seeds.
Pomegranate seeds.
Sounds like warts.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.